On 60 Minutes this weekend, President Obama said that the U.S. had put too much faith in the Iraqi military before realizing it was unfit to combat the Islamic State militants, also known as ISIS. George Packer is a staff writer for The New Yorker. He's perhaps best known for his 2005 book on the Iraq War, The Assassin's Gate. He says that the Iraq military crumbled because it wasn't much of a military to begin with. I asked George Packer if it's possible to train and equip someone else's army in light of the recent failures.
It's possible. It's happened. I mean, it's happened in other cases after World War II, for example. But maybe a better analogy to Iraq would be South Vietnam, where we spent years and years arming, training, fighting alongside, I mean, in far greater numbers than in Iraq, the South Vietnamese army, and it remained a corrupt, nepotistic. Obviously, there were some very good fighters, as there are in Iraq. There are individuals who are brave and honorable and not corrupt, but the institution was corrupt. And so when the North Vietnamese crossed the line in 1975, the South Vietnamese army collapsed in front of them, and the same thing happened to the Iraqi army earlier this year with ISIS, which is not the North Vietnamese army. I mean, it's nothing like that level of numbers and equipment, but it didn't take a whole lot.
Well, the wisdom now is, the idea is that U.S. and allied air attacks on ISIS can stop them. They can knock out the refineries from which they've been earning a lot of money to fund their military efforts. Do you think that will work?
I think tactically, yes. It's already had some successes. I mean, the airstrikes began not in June when ISIS overran Mosul, the second largest city in Iraq, 2 million people, which was a shock, but rather in August when ISIS began to break out of Mosul and threaten both Erbil, which is the capital of the Kurdish regional government. Thousands of foreigners live and work there. It's a kind of little Istanbul in northern Iraq. I mean, it's a secular, modern, thriving, prosperous city. And suddenly ISIS seemed to be at the doorstep. There's an American consulate there. And also the Yazidi religious minority on Mount Sinjar, which is a couple hundred thousand pretty much defenseless people who are considered devil worshippers by ISIS. So it was a true emergency in terms of both the strategic catastrophe of losing Erbil and then the humanitarian catastrophe of a genocide. That prompted the first airstrikes. And I feel like we've been playing just a tactical game ever since. Whenever ISIS pushes in a certain direction, we respond with airstrikes. Right now, today, it's on the Syrian-Turkish border where Syrian Kurds, who have a rebel army, which has been part of that country's civil war, and mainly civilians, have been pushed right up to the border and across it by ISIS. And we now know ISIS, you know, when ISIS comes to your neighborhood, they're going to wipe out everybody. So the Kurds are right to have fled toward Turkey. And from what I've read, they feel that we've been slow to respond. You know, where's Obama is what they're asking right now, because this is another imminent humanitarian catastrophe. So ISIS has the advantage of momentum. It's setting the tempo of action, and we're responding to it. How that fits into a much longer strategy of defeating ISIS and of creating a situation in which an Iraqi government and then much farther down the road a Syrian government that has some legitimacy among its people are capable of defending themselves, that's a fiendishly complicated matter, and I don't think we've thought it through yet. I think we've been pushed into responsive tactical actions that are not connected to a long-term strategy yet.
I'm talking to reporter George Packer about what's going on in Iraq and ISIS. You know, I was dismayed to read that ISIS has billions of dollars of American-made armored vehicles and heavy weapons. How did they get our stuff?
Because the Iraqi army abandoned it when they overran Mosul in June. It was just a catastrophe. Yeah, Humvees, even some Abrams tanks, 50-caliber guns that they mount now on their pickup trucks. They seem to drive Toyotas. They seem to prefer Toyota pickups. And heavy artillery. Yeah, they're very, very well armed. They have, yeah, well over $1 billion in American weapons from sources I've talked to. And that means they're the best armed people in the region. And they're also, it seems to me, and this was something I felt throughout the years of the American war in Iraq, more motivated. than their enemy, more willing to take the offensive and to take risks. And that, too, has to do with this question of what are you fighting for? The Iraqi army could never really say what it was fighting for, whereas ISIS is fighting for a terrifying, purified version of Islam to be imposed on anyone and everyone in their way. That's a strong dose. So the Iraqi army and the other rebels in Syria who certainly were motivated by their desire to overthrow Assad right now are on the defensive, partly because they're not as well armed and partly because they don't seem to have the confidence that ISIS has. And that's a big role. I think one thing the airstrikes are doing, though, is hurting ISIS's confidence. They're changing their tactics. They're not showing themselves as boldly. They're not waving their flag. So it's going to hurt their ability to intimidate people in the area, I think.
George Packer, another thing that you've written about this ISIS offensive is that it's really increased the threat to any Iraqis with any kind of a U.S. affiliation. And from what you've written, the U.S. is not giving them much help in getting out.
This is an issue I've been writing about for years now, since 2007. What do we do with the Iraqis who worked for us, with us, who were interpreters, drivers, et cetera, and whose record with us puts a target on them, not just for ISIS, but for the Shia militias, for even the Iraqi government? And the record over the years in both Bush and Obama administrations has been miserable. We have let in some, but it's just an agonizingly long, difficult process. Sometimes they wait for years without knowing what the holdup is until some attention is paid and some lawyers and journalists get involved. And then, to spare itself an embarrassment, suddenly the State Department issues a visa. But it's grudging and it's slow, and that's continuing. I mean, that's not going to change because, in fact, we're about to see the end of the special immigrant visa program this month, and with it, thousands of unused visas, which have not gone to people, are just going to disappear unless there's a change in that legislation, because we simply haven't been fast enough in issuing them to people who've been vetted to within an inch of their life and have shown that they're willing to risk their lives on behalf of our cause, whatever that was, in Iraq. And so I think it's a moral shame.
What's going on here? Is this simply bureaucratic incompetence, or is there something behind it that people are really deciding they don't want these Iraqis who helped us to come into the country?
I think it's bureaucratic incompetence in the service of fear. And the fear is that we're going to let in the wrong Iraqi. You know, after the Vietnam War ended in 1975, President Ford essentially opened the gates and let in well over 100,000 Vietnamese within the first months. So in spite of the shameful chaos of the evacuation, there was a policy shift that said, we owe them, we need to let them in. They've suspended immigration laws. They did what they had to. It came from the top. And the problem here is that neither President Bush nor President Obama, I would say for different reasons, has made it a priority, and therefore the bureaucracy doesn't make it a priority. And there's always a way to find a reason not to do something in the bureaucracy. It's much harder to do something, especially when doing something carries this tiny risk that maybe it's going to be the wrong thing.
George Packer, thank you so much for speaking to us today. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure.
George Packer, staff writer for The New Yorker, author of the book The Assassin's Gate, about the Iraq War.